Good evening. In the absence of our village president, I'm going to call the meeting to order and accept nominations for a chair.
I nominate Matthew Harris.
I would second that. Come on down, Matthew.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do I get a vote?
You're already outnumbered.
We all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to call the Tuesday, July 17th, 2018 Village Board meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Genrich is excused. Trustee Atwood?
Here.
Trustee Rafter is excused. Trustee Harris here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Sampson?
Here.
All right. I think in terms of modifying the agenda, we wanted to look at moving the item for Doug's Take 5 up to 5A, just after Water Authority Agreement. Would that work?
Wouldn't it have to be 6? New business?
Yes, I'm okay. Sorry, 6A, right? But the first item of new business.
I'd move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Announcements.
Trustee Harris, I was hoping to be able to also offer an amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't looking.
Modification.
Oh, okay.
There will not be a need to go into closed session tonight. So I don't know where that is.
Oh, 15 and 16 don't need to take place. Okay.
I object to that.
I apologize. Yeah, if there's no need for those items, eliminating 15 and 16, is that good with your motion? In a second?
Good with my second.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that, Brad. I wasn't looking. All those in favor of the revised, modified agenda?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Now we'll move on to announcements. We have Hops on the Hill taking place at Heritage Hill State Historical Park on July 26th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. There'll be a performance by Ants Marching featuring different foods from local restaurants paired with delicious craft beers from Dean Distributing. Tickets can be purchased in advance or on the day of the event. Absentee ballots are available for the partisan primary election on August 14th. And we also have Pooches and Pints taking place on August 2nd from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Green Isle Park. It's Green Bay's first ever pop-up event. And the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association is having a block party on Sunday, July 29th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. They're asking that you bring your own food and drinks. Grills are available, games, music, and fun for all on South Jackson Street between Derby and Alloy Terrace. Thank you. Any other announcements from board members? Any other announcements from staff? We'll move on to public appearances. Is there anybody who wishes to address the board about a topic today?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339
former co-chairman of the Village of Illinois Bike Ped Committee. I object to the deletion of item number 15 and 16 and 17, 15 and 16 by Brad. There was supposed to be the approval of the Green Avenue pump house, which has been in negotiations for 2 years now. On January 3rd, 2017, the village board decided to blacklist several people and not consider offers from them, and that is continuing through today. I received an email from the village attorney at about 3 o'clock today saying that the only problem he had with it, with the offer that was there, was he wanted a later closing date, which was absolutely fine. So a later closing date of August 10th was absolutely fine. So if the village is going to go ahead and just cancel approval of the purchase of the pump house, which is currently condemned, it's a cash offer, quick close, no contingencies, and it's been in negotiations for 2 years now, and the village has made it very, very difficult, in fact, impossible for certain parties to purchase the property. So I object to that, and I would like the item number 16 offer to purchase Green Avenue, 15 offer to purchase Green Avenue, put back on the agenda and discuss tonight. And also, it should be done in open session instead of in closed session. Bad things happen in closed sessions, including the blacklisting and meeting with developers. That should be open session. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to address the board tonight? Would you please make sure you give us your name and address for the record?
Jeff Maskey, 2241 Swanstone Circle. Okay. I'm here just to ask the opinion of the board. We have a piece of property that we had thought was sold here in Alloway, 1317 South Webster. We had a conditional use for mixed use on it. Fell through, so it's back on the market. It's zoned business. We do have the conditional use for mixed use. We've been aggressively trying to sell it for the last 38 months for about $70,000 below assessed value on it, just trying to get it sold. And a few people have expressed interest as possible residents, but it's zoned business, and I'm curious if the board could give me an opinion if they would seriously consider it as a residence. I don't want to misinform somebody and say that it could be and have them come here, spend the money, and then just have it turned down right away.
Okay.
So I'm just looking to see if it would be considered a serious consideration as a residence if somebody was looking to do that.
Okay. Well, the board, we can't take any action on items that aren't listed out on the agenda.
Sure.
And then I think my suggestion would be, and correct me if someone else has a different opinion, is I would work directly with the staff on what our options are. They're going to be much more familiar with the details of how the zoning may be adjusted, or what other options you have available. We're not going to, I don't think we're in the best position to give you a good answer right off the bat.
Okay. So then the staff would give their recommendations? And
they're going to give you guidance on what your options are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can, then, figure out, from what your options are, you'll be able to figure out the next steps. So other than that, I don't know what those options are, but they're going to tell you, yes, this is an option, that is an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest working with Trevor.
I have been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone else have an opinion that I'm missing out on?
Always apply to get it rezoned if you wanted it rezoned as something else.
Yep, that. I know that would be the standard process, and it's about a $300 fee, but I don't want the seller or the potential buyer to come in and then just have it shot down right away if it's mm-hmm. something that would never be considered.
What, is it surrounded by houses? I know you gave us your address, but what is it?
The property was a photography studio, dance studio, 1317 South Webster. Los Magallas is on one side.
Yeah.
There's a duplex on the other side.
Okay, so you have residential around you.
There are there are two duplexes close to it, and then there's a daycare center on the other side of the duplex, and then as you get farther down, it slowly turns into more residence. But we're kind of right on the border where it's been, you know, where it's business and where it's kind of transitioning into a residential type area.
Mixed use seem like a good alternative that for that property, but a residential doesn't seem quite as, you know, I'm on the land commission as well, and I'm just thinking that might be harder to get through than the mixed use was.
Okay, so it might be a bit of a challenge, but can't say for sure.
Right, because it's not just my opinion or any one of our opinions.
Although a residence is included in mixed use.
Mm-hmm. But my understanding, mixed use, the residence is part of it, but then the other part has to be a business as well. Correct.
How do we make sure the business is operating? That's interesting to me, because if you have a building that's mixed use and it has multiple tenants, that's an interesting question.
Okay.
Please continue working with Trevor, and we'll help you out the best way we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board on a topic tonight? All right. Moving on to old business, the Water Authority Agreement.
This item was discussed at the last village board meeting. The Water Authority has made some amendments to their formation agreement. We went through the changes that Trustee Sampson had. At the end of the discussion, the village board had asked that the village attorney take a look at the proposed amendments. The village attorney has, and he has seasonal issue with the proposed changes. The proposed amendment to the formation agreement will go to the board, Water Authority Board, on July 25th for approval.
So is there any action that we need to take tonight?
As the representative to that committee or that board, I will have Alloway's vote, and it is Alloway's vote. That's part of the five votes on that issue. Whether it's a motion or a general consensus that this board supports it, I'd welcome that. I think I heard general support for it last week, mm-hmm. or 2 weeks ago, but just wanted to, and not with the attorney's approval.
Okay.
I would certainly favor it.
Okay. Trustee Green.
I'd make a motion that we support the Water Authority Agreement.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'd second it.
Any discussion? Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. New item 6A. Request from Doug's Take 5 at 3600 Riverside Drive for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot on August 5th from 1 to 4 p.m. I see we have the petitioner here. Would we like to hear from him? Make a motion to open the floor, suspend the rules and open the floor.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Come on up, Doug.
Thank you all very much. Last year we had our first what we call our OptiFest, which is our Optimist Club has a gathering of band plays, and we sell some food and some drinks. We'd like to do the same again this year. We had no complaints last year. We'll do the same format as we did last year, where we will have the band playing on the north side of the parking lot facing the south side, so that the noise goes into the building. Like last year, I will go around and to the neighbors and give them our phone number if anybody has any complaints with the noise. Again, we have a a security guard, Ron Towns, who was the police chief of Denmark, comes and is just there. We have about six or eight guys about my age, and we keep an eye on the crowd. We have two entrances. We have, which are checkpoints, where people who come in who want to have something to drink need to prove age. They're given that a wristband, and they need to get a wrist. You know, they need that wristband in order to be able to buy something to drink. It'll end at 4. The nice thing about the band is it's a group of doctors. It's not a group of guys that think the louder the better. These guys play well. We then clean up the area. We ask the local businesses if they'll let us park, if we have overflow parking, that they can park there. Van Gemert Memorials, Nicolay Bank. If we anticipate a really big crowd, we may go up to the Abbey and ask if people can park there and then just walk down. We've been without incident. I would assume we would be the same. Last year, we raised $12,500, though we gave away $13,000 to Blessings in a Backpack so kids eat well. We gave it to the Ecumenical Center so that if people don't have a place to stay, that we pay for that. And then we did something with Camp Lloyd, where if a child loses a parent or a sibling, that they can then, they go to this camp and they receive some counseling and they spend time with other kids and try to help them get back to the bases. Some of the funds also go, although I think these are more private donations, we go to buying books for kids in schools who don't read well. We have some of our members go into Langley School and other schools in the area, and they read with kids, counsel kids, and sometimes you don't do anything more than throw a ball with a kid, but you try to get these kids to a point where life is a little easier for them. And we're hoping that you'll let us do this again. If anybody has a question, I'd sure be glad to answer it.
Anything from the board? I did attend last year. Laid out well, handled well with security, wristbands, things like that. So as long as we continue on with that, I'm good. I was happy with what I saw.
Nice program.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Move to return to regular order.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. All right. May I have a motion on this item, please?
I move to approve.
And a second from Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Item 6, petition from David Cowles requesting preliminary plan development district approval for a mid-rise residential condominium building on parcel AL79 located at 2222 Riverside Drive. Trevor, can you help us out with this one, please?
One second, I'm sorry.
No, I'd rather have the information up on the screen. We're good.
All right, so as was mentioned, this is a preliminary approval for PDD at 2222 Riverside Drive, current Mariner Motel and Guy 57 Sub Club. The petitioner is looking to raise all existing buildings on the site and put a six-story from grade condominium unit development on site. At this stage of the game, it's more just looking at the concept and what the principle of the project is, so height, intended use, more than specific details such as stormwater, number of parking spots. Those all will, assuming approval tonight, will all be worked out through the final approval process in the PDD. Approval tonight or not approval tonight does not bind the project either way. They can still resubmit or they can still not get final approval, too.
Okay, thank you.
The Planning Commission discussed this at their June meeting, and the two, I guess, biggest topic items were the height of the building and the pedestrian trail access at the end of Alloway Avenue. The petitioner has provided us with a side-by-side comparison so that you can get an understanding of where the building would sit in relation to the existing surrounding building, such as the Shane building. That is displayed up on the screen. That is not in your packets. So this would be a view from Riverside Drive. As you can see, it does stand taller than the existing Shank building, but does not stand, you know, doesn't seem like it towers above the surrounding building.
The vertical line in between the buildings, where it looks like you have dimensions listed?
Yes.
What are those? Because as I...
This is 54 feet.
Okay.
And then this is an additional 21 feet.
Okay. So then, again, that's just to the top of the building itself. What's behind it that's a little bit higher?
This is a balcony.
Okay.
And kind of a covered overlook. So as far as I know, there wouldn't be any bedrooms or anything up there, but that would be set back. And you can kind of tell a little bit. And I'll let the developer kind of go through this a little bit more, but... That would be this area up here. So it would be set back, and there would be a parapet wall here.
So that part would be close to 80 feet high.
Correct. Yes. I think all together, I think from Riverside, it's about 79 feet.
From the height of Riverside Drive on the other side of this building? From the top of the building?
From the height to, I think, the very top. And again, I want to defer the exact numbers to the developer.
It helps me personally because when I drove past, I was seeing roughly three stories and figured, okay, we're doubling that. So that was the...
Yeah, the Shank building is a old building. It has, I think, taller stories. So it is three stories, but it appears to stand taller than a modern-day three-story building. These stories are approximately 11 and a half feet. Each. So.
And the Shank building is the old brewery.
Correct, yes.
And I wonder how it compares to the Mariner Hotel currently. And when you, and again, at 80 feet, that'll be my question, is that's got to be 15 feet below Riverside Drive level. And her question was?
Riverside Drive to the top.
Yeah, Riverside Drive to the
So I have right here Google Maps, the street view. So it's kind of, you can see the Shank building in the background. That's about as best as I can provide.
Yeah, well, that helps.
But Trevor, show across the street. We only have a cemetery across the street, and
there's
nothing there.
Those people aren't going to care.
They're not.
There was a little discussion at the Planning Commission concerned that maybe this would set precedents for future developments exceeding the height limit. Mm-hmm. The height limit here for a commercial building is 4 stories or 50 feet. Again, the PDD is specific to each parcel. So just because it's applicable here or not applicable here doesn't mean that it's the same everywhere. Again, you have an existing building that's 54 feet tall. So that might differ from an area where you have surrounding buildings that are only 15 to 20 feet tall.
Right, and was the argument also kind of made that I think we're hinting at here, is it treated differently because it's, you know, the first floor is probably, it's got to be at least 15 feet below the level of Riverside. So you're kind of getting a couple stories for free.
Yeah, so yeah, it's built up a little bit here. It'd be burned, I believe, but I think the specific details maybe the developer can discuss.
Okay. Any other questions for Trevor?
No, we'll save it for the developer.
I guess there was one other comment at Plan Commission was pedestrian access to the trail. And the developer and I have since discussed a few different options.
Okay.
Why was the, in terms of the note to that you put together, Trevor, to the Plan Commission and to the Village Board, why is staff recommending that if trail access is provided, that it be publicly maintained?
Only because that's a good amount of liability that you're putting on the private property owner. Also, there are a few different options that, you know, after this is approved and the developer were to sell it off, it would be then deferred maintenance to a condo association, which I think just it would be easier in the long run if the village maintained that section, made sure that the pavement was kept up and or painting of the striping, whatever it were. I just think down in the long run, it would be easier to maintain.
Would it then be classified as an easement?
An easement, yes.
Okay. Permanent. Okay. Anything else for Trevor? Oh. Anything else for Trevor? Sorry. She just told me.
Raise it up a little bit.
So got it. Anything else for Trevor? All right. Would we like to hear from the developer?
Sure.
Could I get a just a second? Follow the rules. Can I get a motion to suspend
rules? Suspend the rules.
Second by Trustee Green. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Please come up.
David Coles, 2080 Greenleaf Road, De Pere. I'm the owner of the property right now, and as most of you know, we've been kind of working on this for about a year now. In its current form, about 2 months. I have our builder here, Tom Van Dyke with Best Built, and Ryan Bakke with Perform Architects, if you had any other questions for them. through the Planning Commission, like Trevor said, you know, the height thing is came up a little bit. I don't think it's really a problem in that spot, just because of the lay of the land and what's, like you said, the neighbors, which there really aren't any. And the other thing is the trail access, which seems to be coming up quite a bit. We've been a good neighbor, along with Schenck, allowing people, whether we like it or not, to use our property down there. And they do. They use Schenck much more than us because they have a huge parking lot. So it's kind of like, well, it's there, so people use it. We're not opposed to working with the village to try and come up with some type of pedestrian access or something. But granted, it is private property, and I think everybody's going to have to work together, whether it's us and the property owner on the north side, or us and Schenck, and we'll have to have the village involved as well. We definitely don't want to maintain it, though. I just think that's creating big problems for us. We maintain it now, and I don't know if our insurance company would really appreciate that if they even knew. I mean, if you see the people riding bikes down there at 15 miles an hour, and people with baby carriages and traffic, and it's kind of dangerous right now. But anyway, we allow, like I said, we want to be good neighbors. We let people fish off the dock. People park down there. So we think it's a good project. We've got tremendous interest. Our next step is obviously to go through this protocol with you guys and we can then answer more customers' questions, whether it's really going to happen or not. We would like to start next spring, put a shovel on the ground, and I think once we get all the approvals, that this will speed up the process of sales. We have tremendous interest. A lot of the kickbacks are, well, when's it going to be there? Somebody wanted to buy a new home. Well, it's 2 years out. That's a tough one. But if we can nail down that time and people know that it's really going to happen, then we can get our reservations. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Okay. I think, if I remember correctly, last time you came before us, you had 2 units sold. Am I remembering that correctly?
We actually had up to 4, but then we changed the plans a little bit. And the reservation deposits that we can do right now are totally non-binding. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a few people in the pipeline. It's a $5,000 deposit. It's refundable tomorrow if they decide. It's not an offered purchase. So we have a lot of people in the pipeline. We actually have 2 and me, which I didn't put any money on either. So.
Understood. Okay. I don't know if this question came up at Planning Commission, but what if it was 5 stories from Riverside instead of 6? How does that change things?
Well, we've been through a number of different plans, and this is pretty much the way that we're going to have to do it in order for it to work in this form of condominiums. All private ownership. It's a different deal than apartments. A lot of the finance people, they want apartments because they're easier to finance, less risk. We'd rather do condos, but this is the form it would have to be in order to make it work, along with some TIF stuff down the road.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for David? Thank you. All right. Can I get a motion to take up the rules, please?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village Beyondway Bike Bed Committee. I like the project. I like the idea of getting people down by the water. I don't think that the height restriction is a problem at all. The reason that we had the old height restriction was due to the ladder size on our fire trucks. So it's my understanding that we have bigger fire trucks now, and that's not an issue. And with that not being an issue anymore, everybody along the riverfront should be given the same changes. So I object to the plan development district being used as an individual zoning case as a way to get around the zoning. If you're going to make an exception, you need to give everybody in that similar situation the same exception, so that everybody along the river should be given the same zoning. There's no reason to create a PDD there when you have zoning in place for a single parcel. So I like the project. I'd like to see the green space there and public access down to the trail that is private property. I think that the village needs to look at correcting the zoning code, which is restrictive down there, instead of using the PDD to get around the zoning code. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I do have one question for Mr. Coleman, the developer. And maybe I've seen this before, but the issue of boat slips, is that part of the plan? And do you know firmly, based on frontage, how many slips you will have for...
Based on DNR frontage requirements, they will allow us 6 slips. Now, they also have a formula where you can have more slips if you rent a couple out to the public.
Well, that's where I was driving at, whether speculatively you could build more slips than you need,
right,
and whether parking...
And it's kind of a... first come, first serve. I would say about half the people that we've talked to are interested in a slip, but it's going to be an extra cost. So it's you know, you're going to have to probably, if you're going to put a boat there, it's fairly rough because it's the widest part of the river. When it's windy, it gets rough, so you'll have to put in a lift of some sort or just tie it up and hope for the best. So.
And how's the depth? And the
right rocks? Now, it's great.
Oh, yeah. That's
right now, it's great. But, you know, 6 years ago, we looked over our wharf out there and we looked at rocks. Now there's 4 feet of water there. So you go out 20 feet and it's 6 feet of water, so it's great.
Okay. Well, I just asked because if it's six, you know, there's every chance you'll fill that up with people who
right.
reside at the complex. It's not really the kind of thing where you can kind of have a small marina there that would be open to the public and using other businesses.
No. If you notice downtown Green Bay, I believe it's Riverfront Place, the red brick building,
yeah.
one of the two condos down there, they have slips out in front, and they do the same thing. They advertise slips for rent.
Yeah.
And I don't think they rent them, but they have to make them available. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Judy.
Thank you for speaking in the microphone. Judy Cole, 2375 Riverside Drive. I'm not trying to throw cold water on anything here, and I know that the people who reside in the cemetery are not going to object, but those of us who live a block or so away, has there been any thought at all about asking the people in this neighborhood what they think about a six-story edifice coming up? I know I'm not right across the street from it, but I still have to wonder, what's it going to do to the property values of the homes in that area? And it would have been nice, perhaps, if some of the neighbors had been sounded out on it. And I've got to say, I'm a little bit surprised. I knew that there was talk about something going in there, but I didn't think that it was going to look like St. Vincent's Hospital. I really didn't. Thank you.
One thing to keep in mind is that this would be just a preliminary approval to continue the process. Trevor correctly pointed out, you know, it could keep going and everything will be approved, completed. There could be something that happens down the road where it doesn't continue. This is an initial step in the process.
I just thought it was worth throwing out there now.
Thank you. Motion to take up the rules, please. Trustee Atwood, second by Trustee Green. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item, please?
I'm unclear as to what kind of motion we're even looking for at this point. If it's got a whole lot of other processes that go through, I'm kind of feeling this as just a discussion at this point. Am I wrong? Is this really an action item? It is?
Yes. You would need to approve in concept. So the use of the building as well as any maybe caveats you want to include in there, but I think primarily you're just approving that the concept of the building and the condo fit with the surrounding uses in that neighborhood and is consistent with the comprehensive plan, what it calls for in that area.
So with that being said, what we're looking for is just an approval on the concept to move forward, but it doesn't bind us in any way, shape, or form. There's a lot of hurdles that need to be addressed and tackled first.
That is correct, yes. Discussion with the developer yesterday, actually, timeline, we're thinking probably later this fall coming back with the final plan sets, and that would give us and the developer time to work through some of those different details, stormwater, possible pedestrian trail access, those type of things.
Well, then in that case, I would move to approve the concept in continued conversations on it until all the other elements are addressed.
Okay.
Trustee Green?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? Trustee Dart?
I think if we have some specific things that we're very much against, it's only right for us to let the developer know. So he's going to be putting more money into this and more time, more energy, and I think it's not right for us to let him go through all of that if people are in their minds right now that that is too high. I personally, I think it does look like a hospital, but I don't think it's too high. I mean, I think it could fit in there. I'm not real keen on the look of it. It's too blocky for me, but I think we need to understand and give the developer some instructions, because I think we're just sending away and go, well, we'll think about it, but we're really not giving them a clue what to do.
Okay. Well, I do have a concern about the height. I realize at the front of the building to Riverside will be at 75-ish feet, and then that other 5, 6, 7 feet to get you past 80, you're at about a 50% difference from next door. That amount of a jump with nothing else that I can think of nearby that height just got my attention when I'm looking at the drawings, looking at the concept itself. So that is why I asked the question about 5 versus 6. So it is a concern of mine. I'm not as the visuals of the building itself don't have my attention as much, but the height does.
Well, it's a modern-looking building. I just might not like that design. So that's mm-hmm. not really the issue. I think. What is the height of that? The new building across the river, one going up. That looks extremely high. That apartment on 172, or that building on 172.
Oh, the one right by the bridge.
Yep.
Like right by the bridge.
Yeah, that's probably about 6 stories.
I think that's all a 6. I mean, that thing's 15 feet over the highway.
I mean, you certainly see it when you're on the highway.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead, please.
Well, I appreciate those concerns. Maybe my inclination now is that height could very well be fine for that location. You know, I walked by there today, that's in our neighborhood, and saw the single-story office building in the cemetery across the street. But I appreciate your comment that the Planning Commission will look at that, even though it is a planned development. It does set a precedent that we let that planned development at that height, and granted it's a ways away from the road and down the slope a little bit, and in an area where neighbors are unlikely to complain that their view is compromised. And so that still has to be resolved at the Planning Commission level and the board, but I think that's something we'll take up at that time. This has not been resolved by the Planning Commission, that particular question. It was raised that it would...
We passed it on to the board.
Right, they did have approval in concept with knowing that it would be the 6 full stories above. But they did request that Belver do some sort of illustration as far as the side comparison for the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the developer was able to provide us with this comparison. But they did have that one reservation that they would be setting a precedent. My personal and professional opinion, I do not think it sets precedent, but that's just, you know, my opinion.
And I agree with Trevor, I don't think it sets a precedence either. As we look at new zoning codes and the way things are zoned now, and our zoning code is so old, it gives you much more flexibility on individual areas in the village. The way our zoning code is set right now, it really ties our hands to do a lot of things that we would like to do. And as we look at just having someone redo the zoning code. You just see so many more opportunities that are available when we have it rezoned. So I think right now dealing with the PD is the best way to do that, and I don't think it's setting precedents. And I think the new zoning codes aren't going to set precedents in the same way. It's more going to be looking at your property and what can happen on it, and not so much as this area is this or this area is this. So I think looking to the future, that's the way it's going to go, more individual like that. So it's just the height that concerns me yet, and I don't even know why it concerns me, just because we don't have a building that tall in the village.
And you might have to say some no to somebody with that height, but down the road a bit in a location where it doesn't work.
Say no.
Yeah. Fair enough. Thank you.
I was just going to add one thing. I think with limited development opportunities along the Fox River, I think you're going to see people going up because they don't have big enough properties to expand it and keep them somewhat to limit the height anyways. I think if you look around Appleton, even Wausau, in Green Bay, buildings are getting bigger. They're getting taller because of the limited space. And the development along the Fox River is attractive to businesses and residential development. So.
Thank you. I did ask Trustee Green, or Trustee Dart quickly, the Plan Commission did vote unanimously to recommend it for approval, so that the rest of the board is aware of that. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but they passed on the concerns of the trail and the height.
Okay.
Trail access really, and we don't see an easy solution to that. Nobody does that I've heard, but it's something that a big concern to everybody, and I know it's a concern to all of us.
Okay. All right. It may be that a little bit of time looking at it some more, get more comfortable with the height, but I'd rather bring it up at the beginning, well, not as you just did as well, Trustee Dart. Any other discussion on this item? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7. Ordinance 2018-10, amending Article 1, Weeds and Unsightly Growth of Chapter 345, Property Maintenance.
I'll go ahead and try to take care of this.
Please.
Some of it is basic cleanup of verbiage, but the other is to specify the state statute, which is limits to 4 weeds that are considered noxious in 3.254, where we have called out a whole bunch.
I only see 3 on the changes.
Was that? Oh, it is 3.
Okay. Well, we have 1 in reserve then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So is this a state mandate? That we include all that the state includes?
You can't go less restrictive.
We can go less restrictive?
You have to follow what the state shows at a minimum. You can be more restrictive, and we were more restrictive.
So the state's basically saying we have to pass this?
No.
That's not how I'm interpreting it.
Not at all. It's cleaning it up because there are so many that are listed. We have so many that are listed.
Well, I agree, but I want to take another one out. Trying to control Creeping Jenny is ridiculous. We can't do it on our own land. How do we? Seriously, if you go in, we can't, as much parkland as we have and riverfront as we have, we can't control our own Creeping Jenny. So my issue with this is if we can't control it, I'm certainly not going to make a resident control it. And I would say the state of Wisconsin doesn't control it on state lands either. So
correct.
so I'm just completely against the state saying we have to do something or include something that they don't control, we have no hope of controlling, and then why should we inflict that on the homeowner? So I just, that's my logic behind this. I'm just kind of completely against this, period. So I'm not wanting to make the list greater, I'm wanting to make it smaller. Because otherwise we're going to have to cite ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if we're going to clean this book up, we need to at least make it realistic, in my opinion.
And we did clean it up by just listing what the state is required.
Yeah, I'd go one further and say the state's nuts, and we just need not list them. Any of them.
Just a little technicality here, because I am confused about the type of weeds. We had a field blind weed, commonly called Creeping Jenny, and now we have a field bin weed called Creeping Jenny. And I am confused because I have what I thought was a bin weed, and now I'm not sure. So is a blind weed and a bin weed different, and are both called Creeping Jenny?
I think they're probably both just called Creeping Jenny. It takes someone that is very in tune with what these each weed really is to identify, and I think that's part of the reason why it's down to three as well, because it is so difficult. And there's different common names that are given to so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice out of all of them on here, garlic mustard's not on here, which, if anything, is a noxious weed and crowding out, you know, our native species. So
it's considered an invasive.
It is, and it's everywhere in the village too. And we can't control it. So I'm just, the Creeping Jenny thing just bothers me.
Are you proposing making a change,
or
what are you proposing?
I would propose passing this just because we have to due to the state, but taking out the field bindweed Creeping Jenny just simply on principle of ridiculousness. So striking those words, but passing the rest of it.
I don't know if you're going to be able to fight with that, because that is what the state lists as noxious weeds.
Well, then I'm just a no vote, because I think it's ridiculous. And then it is getting back to the state, since we have to do this. Which means then we have to go cite ourselves. Because I bet I can go around the village in less than an hour and get 10 pictures of Creeping Jenny on our village land. So, So I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but I'm just principally against the state in doing these type of nutty things.
Trustee Sampson.
As a practical matter, in the last year, has anybody been cited for Creeping Jenny plague on their lands?
There was a resident that did a formal complaint about his neighbor having Creeping Jenny that was making its way into his property, and that resident was asked to control it. And they have taken measures to control it.
Okay, thank you.
Is Creeping Jenny like Creeping Charlie?
Yes.
See, there again, it's those common names that...
That stuff's impossible.
Thank you. it just is. And if we have to cite our own selves for our own public lands of the village, it's just ridiculous.
I get it on principle.
Yeah.
Then, but I think we have to go with the state on this one.
Somebody's got to say no to them at some point.
Would we like to remove the whole ordinance? If you don't have...
Is that an option? Can we drop the whole ordinance?
Yeah, what if we didn't have the ordinance itself?
Do we have the noxious weed police ordinance going to come after us?
Can we trade for a no compression braking sign?
Poor Grant.
Why don't we just table this at this point and let us look into that, whether that's even an option.
Otherwise, we need to put on here, seriously, I want to put in this, state mandated. Please note, we're not going to enforce it. Can they make us enforce? Because I just really
I think that's getting a little...
Yeah.
And so one of the things you have to realize is we're not going around looking for this. This is complaint driven. If someone calls and says,
you need something.
I don't want it in my property.
But what if they call us and complain about one of our parks?
We probably take care of it.
You know, right. That's the thing.
We just take care of it.
Yeah.
It may be a state mandate, but I think it also follows some of the other items that we've passed. We're putting something in place to allow staff to enforce. Okay? We may not like all parts of it, but it still may be a situation where we're allowing the staff to enforce. I'm repeating myself, sorry. So I would make a motion to table this item to allow staff to check into whether or not the ordinance needs to be on our books, and then we'll bring it back at the next meeting.
And if it does, what latitude do we have to change all this? And then I second.
You don't have a second yet, so I can discuss or make a comment.
I think so, yes.
In the 23 plus years that I've been here, that's the only one I know of.
Good.
Oh, the only complaint? Okay. Okay. Well, we'll follow the idea of just seeing if we have to have something on the books. That would be my motion.
I'll second with a friendly amendment to see what our options are if we have to have it on the books.
We can ask the question, yes. I'm good with that. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
That was getting creepy.
Creepy Jenny.
Item number 8. Resolution 2018-11, notice of disallowance of claim number WM000051020095 to Nancy Poley. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Brad, can you help us out with that one a little bit, please?
A claim was submitted to our insurance company, and they are recommending that we deny the claim. In that way, it's the six-month statute of limitations kicks in. So this is the formal process that we need to go through for the recommendation of our insurance company.
Got it. Thank you. We have a motion on this item.
I'll move to disallow.
And a second?
Second.
Trustee Sampson? Any discussion?
I think that it sounds like our people removing the recycling were just being very thoughtful when they were trying to help her out here, and if they wouldn't have done that. I mean, there's a statement in here explaining how it all happened, and it certainly didn't look like it was the village's fault.
Yeah, from what I read, it seemed like everybody was following the established process.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 9, repair of sanitary sewer lateral at 2692 South Webster Avenue. Sean.
That's me. Due to a defective sewer lateral within the street right-of-way, the homeowner at 2692 Webster Avenue has had numerous backups in the basement. When a pipe failure is found within the street right away, it's the village's responsibility to reimburse that homeowner for the repair. We had looked at three different ways to repair the sewer lateral, one to do the work from the main to the right away at an estimated amount of $15,000. Then we looked at repairing the line from the main to the home. That was estimated at $20,000. And we looked at a third alternative that would relocate the sanitary sewer lateral to Tanatua and reconnect to her sanitary lateral in front of her home. And we have estimated that the cost between $6,000 and $8,000. At the Public Works Committee meeting, the committee had recommended that the village cover the cost to install a new lateral from Tanatua to the homeowner's existing lateral at the front of her home at no charge to the homeowner. We need action tonight to support that recommendation.
Okay. Trustee Green.
So moved.
I second.
Trustee Dart. So the motion is to follow the Public Works recommendation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just confirming. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 10, Martha Street Development. Sean.
Bill Johnson, Coldwell Banker, is currently in the process of developing three lots at the end of Martha Avenue. The development will require the extension of the street along with the underground utilities. We have prepared a cost estimate, two cost estimates to extend Martha Avenue, one being a cul-de-sac, and the other being just a extension of the street as it currently is now, the dead end. We had reviewed the two different options internally, and due to the size of the cul-de-sac, and that was restricted by what we have currently out there for right-of-way, we weren't able to turn a garbage truck or a snowplow around. They would have to drive in and back out, so it makes most sense just to extend the roadway as it is now. The cost to extend the roadway and underground utilities would be approximately $54,000. We have met with the developer, and he's requesting that the village assist with this development, and he's here tonight to talk more about the development and I guess the schedule.
Okay, thank you. So, developer is here tonight? All right, would the board like to hear from the developer?
Yes, we suspend the rules.
Motion by Trustee Sampson, second by Trustee Dart. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Come on up, sir.
Thank you. Les Van Horn, 832 Kellogg Street, Green Bay. I'm the surveyor. What we have was, this road was actually developed back in 1968, or 1978, I think it is, and it was just never improved. It's a very small cul-de-sac that was there. It serviced two parcels, existing parcels. We divided the parcel on the right-hand side into two lots to make it more economical. We can get two lots off from that particular parcel of land, one servicing off from Webster Street and then one servicing off Martha Street. And then there was an existing lot to the left of that Martha Street on the west side that was an existing parcel also, that there was one lot altogether, two lots owned by the same owner, but for some reason the street over this time period has never been improved. Now just to move it along and develop the lots, make three residential lots available for construction. We need to have service provided into the street. We didn't create the street. We didn't create the two existing lots. We created one additional lot. But by and large, these are existing parcels and should be, we just believe that they should be, shared with the village. It is an extension of an existing roadway to provide access to two building sites.
Okay. So what in particular are you looking for from the village?
Just a cost sharing on the installation or the extension of the road so that we can provide service or driveways into the two parcels.
Okay. I know from the notes we have from the Department of Public Works, there were a handful of questions that, and I wasn't at Public Works meeting, I believe they had a handful of questions, so I don't know if we need to start to get those answered or what our steps are that we need to follow from here.
We missed the meeting. We apologize for it. We didn't. Okay. Neither myself or the landowner himself, Mr. Johnson, didn't get notice of the meeting, and it was an oversight on our part to follow through and ask when the meeting was going to be. So we weren't able to be at the Public Service Committee meeting or Public Works Committee. And if you would like, we're willing to have you refer back, and we can ask, address those questions there, or we can figure it out tonight if you'd like.
I think that's where at least my own mindset was, is to make sure that the Public Works Department or committee has the questions that they need answered put forth, so that they can proceed. I think in terms of, the notes here against a financial contribution, I think we need some specifics on what you're looking for.
50-50.
Okay, that.
They're willing to do that, that's for sure.
Okay, that's the first specific figure I've seen. Mm-hmm. That may have been discussed elsewhere, but I haven't seen that. That's part of why I'm asking the question.
We had some independent evaluation or cost proposals done as a preliminary on our own behalf, and we got $25,000 as a cost proposal. So, again, depending upon, like anything else, the devil's in the details, so exactly what it is that we're talking about specifically that changes from 25 to 50 is, one of those things that we have to work out with the detail side of it. But like I said, my client, at the $50,000 level, I'm sure my client would be willing to do 50-50 cost sharing.
Okay. Well, I think, if it does go back to Public Works, you'd probably want to share that cost estimate with the group just so that they can be aware of it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas of what the developer plans on putting there?
Two residential buildings, just standard single-family homes.
Single-family homes?
Yes.
Two, three?
Well,
three parcels.
For the three parcels.
Okay.
I think they're zoned for just single-family anyway, so.
I think so.
Okay. Any other questions? It was Russ, correct?
Less,
pardon me.
Less.
Didn't hear you clearly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I move we take up the rules. A second. Trustee Atwood, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Sean, do we know how many years that property has been vacant?
No, I
Brad,
don't
any
know,
idea?
I know it's been some time. That's vacant.
25?
I believe the home that was closest to Webster was removed within the last 10 years. I don't recall anything further to the back, but.
Yeah. What would the tax revenue be on three residential homes in that area?
Depends on the home.
Yeah, depending on the home, just a rough. Be on the conservative side.
But our tax rate is 7.2, or mill rate is 7.2. You're looking at $722 per 100,000. If my math is correct, right?
Per 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Per 100,000.
Yep.
So if you had three homes of value of $250. You're looking at, if it was 50-50 cost share, roughly about 5-year payback.
For something that we've received zero on for as many years as we can remember.
Well, you've been receiving the value of the land currently.
Which is minimal compared to
if it was
built.
Very minimal.
Okay.
Well, without access to that land, it's useless.
Correct.
And it's much better idea than some other things we looked at in the past.
Trustee Sampson, do you have something?
Oh, I'm glad Trustee Dark mentioned. I was in the audience a year ago when the neighbors were upset about the proposal to cram like 18 condo units on there, and without having gone door to door, certainly there would be more acceptance for something that fits the neighborhood.
Well, and going back to that day, that plan never had any teeth to start with.
It was
never going to happen anyway.
Again, and I'm paraphrasing the neighbors, they wondered if it was a stalking horse to ask for 18 but settle for 12, which would still be maybe not the right thing for that long, skinny lot.
If memory serves, that was there was a negative recommendation from the Planning Commission. They voted to not approve it. And just by process, it had to come before the board. So, to Trustee Atwood's point, but just to reiterate, I don't think for that particular instance, it didn't look good. All right.
So, if you're looking for a motion,
I think it'd be worthwhile to take it back to the Public Works Committee,
because they have
so that we can compare the estimate that I
estimate numbers. Okay.
To their numbers.
I believe they also had a handful of questions to get answered from the developer.
Okay. All right.
Are those your numbers up there?
Yeah.
We didn't have them in our packet, did we? Or did I miss them?
I don't think, no.
Yeah.
Can you enlarge them so we can see them? I want to see how they compare.
I haven't seen the developer's numbers, but I could quickly go through this.
I think at this point, if you just forward that to us, take this back to
meaning, and it looks sort of like what
and ask the developer to provide their $25,000 estimate.
I think when the developer said 25, it was the 25 for us and the 25 for them.
Oh, what?
No,
okay.
No, I believe their estimate was for a total of $25,000, if I understood us correctly. But as he put it, the devil's in the details. We may recognize a handful of items that they may not, but that's why we'll compare notes and go from there. And again, I think it would be best to have the developer work with the Public Works group.
I think so.
I would make that motion then. Send it back.
Send it back to Public Works.
Yep.
Okay. Do I have a second on that? Check the Dart. Any other discussion?
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 11, relocation of Brookridge Street curbside mailboxes from Woodrow Way to Libel Street. Someone we haven't heard from yet. John.
Well, the Webster Elementary Safe Route to School project is well on its way. For the most part, a new sidewalk has been constructed along Woodrow Way and Brookridge Street. And during the construction, we had considered the possibility of moving the mailboxes on the north side of Brookridge to the south side to improve aesthetics and to improve ease the maintenance of the sidewalk in the winter. We had sent out a letter to the property owners to gain some feedback from them, and they were invited to the Public Works Committee meeting that took place last week. A number of people had shown up, and I believe all of them were against moving the mailboxes from the north to the south side. The Public Works Committee had recommended that the mailboxes remain on the north side. And I guess we were looking for action tonight from the Village Board to leave the mailboxes on the north side.
Trustee Dart.
I see there's a couple in the audience that live on that street. Maybe they want to speak to it. The comments.
Right here.
I'd move to suspend the rules then.
We would.
Second?
Yep, a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yes, sir.
Order will come up 237 Vintage. From the beginning of the go on this project, it seems like the residents on Booker Street didn't know what was going on. It seems like they were going to put sidewalks on Booker Street on our side, on the south side of the north side of the street, and we were told that there was going to be a 5-foot sidewalk with a 2-foot green strip, and the sidewalk would be coming into our property. Well, how it ended up, when they started the project was a letter that we had gotten from the board, I don't know if it was from the board or what it was, but they were going to put the sidewalk from the back of the curb, 7 feet, a 7-foot sidewalk. And then the question was, where are we going to put the mailboxes? Well, that was a question. I asked the project engineer. He did not know. I asked the planner. He did not know. So it was a decision, what are we going to do with the mailboxes? Well, first of all, it says we're going to put them on the south side of the street. Well, then we had criticisms from out of the residents on the street that didn't want them on the south side. We could plainly see that there was a lot of reasons why they did not want them on that side. Handicapped people had to cross the street in order to get the mail. Some of the residents would have 3 mailboxes on their property, and some of the residents would have 2. They didn't want another mailbox on their property, so it was determined that by Public Works Committee that they would recommend to the board that they would remain on the north side. Okay, so where are you going to put it? They put all the concrete into the sidewalk, which we didn't think they were going to do the 7-foot sidewalk. We didn't know the reason why we had to have a 7-foot sidewalk. I don't know what the code was. I think the code was 5-foot of sidewalk. We questioned why we could not have a two-foot green strip and 5-foot of sidewalk. We were told that would take, if they put in that, they couldn't put a 2-foot strip in because grass wouldn't grow on the 2-foot strip. Well, I don't know. That's a question that can't be answered. So we say, well, put in a 3-foot like you did on Green Avenue. There's a 3-foot strip there with a 5-foot sidewalk. And same thing on St. Jones. They're doing that now. And why can't we have that? Well, then he says that the property owner would lose another foot of their property. Well, when they excavated for the sidewalks, they excavated 8 feet. They took away a foot of our property. They excavated 8 foot, put in a 7-foot driveway, and there's a 2-foot space between the sidewalk and the property owner, which has to be landscaped. According to the elevations of everything, the sidewalk is higher than the road. So when it comes down to your driveway, we all have a slant going down to our driveway and a slant coming up from the driveway to enter the other side of the sidewalk. Well, okay now, so it's water over the dam. We can't do anything now. It's all in. The sidewalk is there. What's the solution? What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? Cut out the concrete and put it in the mailbox? Are you going to drill a hole and put it in the mailbox?
I see your point.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the board on this?
Yes, may I?
Come on up, sir.
My name is Ed Keating, and I live at 153 Brookridge Street. And the concrete, there were a lot of people against putting sidewalks, but their sidewalks are going in. They're looking fine. I'm looking forward to being out there on my skateboard. But I think that it's a bad idea to take our mailboxes away. That was never part of the plan from the get-go. I think it's a worse idea to move them across the street, just because it's, you know, this is my mail. This is my chick coming to my house. I think it would be ideal to have my mailbox brought at my front door and the mailman walking on his new our new sidewalk can go up to my front door and drop off my mail. But concrete can be cut. And that's what it takes. And then that's what it takes. There's plenty of concrete there. I mean, there's 7 feet of concrete. So we ought to be able to, I think, notch in something and make sure that people have access to their mail. I mean, there's lots of my neighbors are some of my neighbors are getting on in years, and I think it's just when I think of the sidewalks went in, there's a safety feature for the kids. Well, we can expand that to include a safety feature for the people who live on the street, so that they don't have to cross the street to get to their mail. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Wait. Make it a race.
I'm Mary Jo Nelson. I live at 201 Brook Ridge Street, and I agree with the other people about the mailboxes. We had no clue they were going to take that, too, besides put in a... It looks kind of like a landing strip now on Brook Ridge Street. It's so plain and just cement. I would propose that, like Ed said, you can cut concrete, cut a 2-foot square. A lot of us like to put few plants or something around our mailbox to make it look a little more pleasant. And somebody mentioned at the planning meeting that, well, it won't grow, that stuff won't grow. Well, if it doesn't grow, then we'll put gravel in there. We'll put some wood chips or something in there.
Creepy Charlie and her
creepy, yeah. There you go. I don't know why we got 7 feet of sidewalk when we're such a quiet street. Alloway Avenue has 5 foot. Webster has 5 foot. I don't know where else in Alloway you have a 7 foot sidewalk. And we have had, 2 years ago, 3 kids walked up the street to school. This last year we counted 2. Everybody drops their kids off at school now. Nobody walks up that street. So all we're asking is we're taking care of the 2 kids that are walking to school now, so please take care of the 22 homes on the north side of Brook Ridge so we can be safe also and not have to cross the street to get our mail. Take care of these 22 because you took care of 2 kids. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. 2 years ago, I wrote a letter to the village requesting that they protect the interests of the elderly and the handicapped with regards to sidewalks on West St. Joseph Street, and I encourage them to do that here. You need to listen to the elderly and the handicapped, make sure that they have an easy way to get around their neighborhood and to get out to their mailboxes. Crossing the street in the winter would be very difficult for them, and you really have to give them the respect that they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I'll try to make this very short. For years and years and years, on Riverside Drive, our mailbox was on the west side of Riverside Drive. My husband was elderly, walked with a cane, was very ill, and every day he walked across those 4 lanes to get the mail. So I asked if we couldn't possibly have the mailbox put on our side of the street, because in the next block there were 2 mailboxes on our side of the street, and it wouldn't be anything extra. The post office wants to save money by not having a postman or lady go from door to door to put the mail in the mailboxes that are on the house. And the answer that I got back was, no, that wasn't possible. So I called and asked to talk to the postmaster, and I was lucky. I was able to talk to him, and I said, when my husband gets hit by somebody going 45 miles an hour on Riverside Drive, I am going to send all of the bills to you personally at the post office, and I'm also going to sue the socks off from you, because
we can't have our mailbox on that side of the street. Now, what does this all mean? It means that I think that these people should be able to have their mailboxes on their homes or inside of the sidewalk on their property if they want to put a mailbox up there so they don't have to cross the street to get their mail. It would still mean that the postman would have to get out of their vehicle and go across and do this. But, you know, they do this on Miramar Drive and the cross street that I can't think of right now on Miramar Drive.
Ducharme
Lane. The postman goes up and he puts the mail in the mailbox. So I don't see any reason why these people should have to walk across the street. It is a health hazard. I know they aren't driving 45 miles an hour, but there is ice, there is snow, there is an incline, and it's asking for trouble. So please, let's see if we can do something to help them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to talk about this topic? All right. I get a motion to take up the rules. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Green. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Trustee Green.
I just have a comment. This was not part of the original deal for these homeowners, so I'm not sure when this came along. But what you're essentially asking us to do today is just not move them at all, so take no action. So just correct. And the mailboxes are going back originally where they were in front of people's houses.
Right.
And we're going to do that.
Right.
Okay, because we took their mailboxes down.
We had to temporarily move the mailboxes so we could build the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
The sidewalk was designed to, the 7-foot width was designed to accommodate the mailbox in a 5-foot walkway. We had thought that because there are other places in the village where mailboxes are on one side, we thought that to ease maintenance in the winter and to improve the aesthetics out there, that we would ask the residents or the homeowners if they'd be open with moving the mailboxes from the north to south side. And we quickly found out that nobody was in favor.
Yeah, okay.
And
I'm like, because I don't remember that being addressed in any of the meetings with the homeowners, and this has been in the pipeline for years.
Yep.
And I thought there was green.
I did too.
Yeah, and
has turned out
that
to be
may
not,
I don't
yeah.
know what the plans were in place when Sean started with us. That
right.
may have, that he may
I
have
think
been
he walked into that.
I was right, I yeah. was told that. You know, the residents along Brookridge and Woodrow Way, to minimize impacts to the front yard, that they wanted this sidewalk at the back of curb.
They did want to minimize impact on their yard, but I don't remember the sidewalk.
To do that, to minimize it, staff looked at the minimum boulevard that would be needed for placement of mailboxes, 2 feet. The mailbox space is at the face of the curb, and they typically extend about 2 feet back.
Mm-hmm.
And the DOT requires that you have a minimum 5-foot clear width, 5-foot walkway behind that. So the decision was made based on input we had gained from public meetings to minimize impacts and to build that at the back of the curb.
Well, what can we do? Like, how can they get their mailboxes where they need them to be? Do we cut?
Yeah, well.
Well, we're going to do
we'll
it.
Drill.
Yeah.
We'll drill opening. And regardless of. Before that, we even discussed moving the sidewalk, the mailboxes to the other side, we had decided to core drill those openings. The contractor could have put a sleeve in the concrete, but because everybody's mailbox is different, we would have had to go out there with the contractor and physically mark where the hole needed to be. And we just didn't have that availability. And some of the mailboxes in the process of them getting moved were damaged, so we needed to replace the mailboxes. So it was just easier
after the fact, after the sidewalk is poured, to go out there and drill opening in the concrete. I did talk to the mail carrier. I caught the mail carrier out there, and I'd asked. I said, "What is the possibility of moving the mailboxes from the street to the home?" And he said, "Good luck." He said, "Once the mailbox has been established at the street, it is extremely difficult to move it back to the house.
You have to have a medical reason." They're signing those for people.
Okay.
And you can get them through if people have a medical reason, just so you know. You can get medical documentation to get it put on the street, and the post office will work with that, at least currently. I'm not sure what they did in the past.
That's not going to really help the whole street.
No, but it would help some of the some of our residents on the street. But me personally, we should put their mailboxes back. We should put them back in front of their house.
So what it looks like we should be able to do is
put them back
on the same side of the street where they were before,
yes,
to not force a resident to have to cross the street in order to get their mail. We should be able to accommodate that without a problem. Okay.
So you really don't need a motion from us?
There was a recommendation from Public Works to the board, so I would
follow through.
So the motion would simply be to replace the mailboxes where they were currently before the project started.
Which was the original plan.
And to follow the recommendation of the Public Works Committee.
So that's the motion.
Second.
Got all that, Debbie?
Yeah.
Were you the motion?
I'm the second.
Hi, Robin.
And Trustee Green is the second. Any other discussion?
I'll throw this in there, and just for the residents, an acquaintance of mine, a couple acquaintances of mine live on that street, and they were upset. They lost a couple of trees, and I was, trying to fish around and make a positive out of it. And they talked about their property values, and I suggested to them that when it comes time to sell their house, there might not many be kids using it now, but that's a great little neighborhood, nice, probably affordable size housing. Make an advantage that you have a beautiful new sidewalk going right to an excellent school. My kids went to Webster, and maybe make something good out of it. And trees grow back eventually, I told her. I don't know if she appreciated that. But anyway, it's a horse apiece, so thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 12, code 151, animals. Not Sean. Trustee Applewood, did you?
Yeah, after a lot of discussion on this and clarifying it, I think it was just pretty much determined that we're going to leave it as is, but maybe make a recommendation for people that feel threatened, start reporting it, and we have to start issuing those citations because a warning's not going to stop. So the citation is listed on the second to last page. It's anywhere from $100 to $1,000.
Again, allow us to enforce the rules that we have in place.
We need to enforce it, yeah. Okay. If I get a $1,000 fine, it's a wake-up call. So I'm going to start controlling my animal.
Understood. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. My golden noodle will get you.
It's so mellow.
Item number 13, State Highway 172 Fox River Bridge Painting Project. Sean.
Yeah, just attended a pre-construction meeting at the DOT. Wanted to let everybody know that the DOT, I guess the end of this month, will be beginning to paint the Highway 172 bridge over the Fox River. There will be some impacts. Lane restrictions on 172 Riverside Drive, the trail, those will be minimal. The project will extend, will be completed October of next year. Work will be suspended the week of Thanksgiving this year, and we'll begin again early May next year.
When did you say it would start? I didn't.
End of July. Really.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Item 14, are there any future agenda items to bring up? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Trustee Dart, second by Trustee Green. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.